Hey, this is Paul Blasingame, and welcome.
How are you?
And I want to welcome Phil Henry. Phil, how are you doing?
I'm good, Paul. Thank you.
Phil, I wanted to talk to you. I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time. Did you know that? Did you know that I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time?
No, I did not.
Well, I have, because you're an interesting guy. You've been around and done things, and you make the funny voices on the radio.
Yeah, that's me. Although I'm not on the radio anymore. I'm on the digital platform.
All right, now I want to ask you about it. What do you mean by a digital platform? I'm old-fashioned. All I know is radio.
Well, a digital platform is what you're on, Paul. You have a podcast called It's Paul.
That's correct, yeah.
And how do you listen to it?
Well, I listen to a tape recording that my engineer, Rudy Belfonte, sends me.
Okay, so that is a tape recording, but how do you hear it?
Well, I listen to it on my phone, on the iPhone. Oh, is that what you... So you're saying I'm digital, too? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, that's how you hear your podcast. That's how I hear mine. You're not listening to it on the radio.
Well, they told me I was on the radio, though. I'm not on the radio.
I don't know, unless you know you have a contract with a radio station or network. It's most likely that you're simply on a digital platform, and that's how people listen to you.
Oh, all right, okay. And then that's what you do, too?
Yes, that's what I do. And
now, what is the... that's all new to me. I didn't know that. That you do that.
Well, that's how everybody... That's how you're doing it. That's how I'm doing it. That's how a lot of people do it now. A lot of people do... They're not on the radio, per se.
Well, what about Mark Maron? He's on the radio, isn't he?
No, Mark's digital, too.
What about Adam Cole? Adam Carolla, he's a podcaster.
Adam Carolla's a podcaster. Everybody's pretty much a podcaster, with the exception of whoever's on the radio. Do you listen to the radio?
Oh, yeah. I listen to, you're not going to like the people I like. I like Mark Levine. Yeah, and I like Sean Hannity. And, those are the ones I like. And I guess that's probably, you don't like that, do you?
Well, I don't like that kind of radio. It's not so much that I don't like those guys. I just don't like listening to a lot of politics.
Oh, yeah, but you do. I hear you talk about politics. I want to get into that here in just a minute here on the It's Paul show. I'm Paul Blasingame. But you wanted to know about my wife, Dolores, didn't you?
Yeah, because I heard that...
Dolores Blasingame is my wife, and she's an attorney at law. She does a personal injury law, and she does some family law. Out in Riverside.
Okay. See, I didn't know that. I knew that about Dolores. I didn't know she was married. I think I did know that she was married.
Oh, yeah. But Dolores and I were married in 1971. And she was a law student, and I was a young business, I had prospects in business. I went into sales, and Dolores eventually got her JD. You know, I used to say to her, juvenile delinquent, and she'd say, no, that's the judiciary, excuse my French.
Now, where did she go to school?
Well, Dolores went to Southwestern Law. She went to...
So it was like, is Southwestern Law a real school, or...
Well, what do you mean, is it a real school?
It's not like a mail order thing?
No, for Christ almighty, no. She went to USC... And then she got her law degree from Southwestern.
But I don't know, is it like mail order?
Yeah, well, it was some online, it was not online in those days, it wasn't. But then you took classes and you did mail order classes and that. But let me tell you what, she got a law degree from it and she's made a living at that. And
were you guys married throughout all of that?
Yes, we were, ever since we met in school. Now, you've turned the tables on me a little bit. I don't want to be interviewed by you. I want to interview you. You want to be... Hold on, I got it. I don't want to be interviewed by you. Want to interview by...
You don't want to be interviewed by me. You want to interview me.
All right, I want to interview you. That's right. That's what I want to do. And you're turning the tables on me.
Well, I don't mean to do that, Paul, but... It was interesting to find out about you and Dolores.
Yeah, and you know her client Steve Bozell, or Steve Bozell, Bill?
Bozell.
It's Bozell.
It's what?
Bozell.
Bozell. That's the man's name?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a client of hers. She's all over the place.
Well, she's taken on a lot of cases that Steve has brought to her, and some of them have been pretty screwy, I guess.
Oh, she, let me, believe me when I tell you, she comes home some nights and is you know, just can't, she says, I can't believe it. I can't believe the things that are happening to me. And it's generally a great conversation we have over fish sticks, or generally that late at night when she gets home at 9 or 10, because she'll work quite late some nights.
Yeah.
We'll have fish sticks, she'll be telling me about her day over a dinner of fish sticks or clam chowder or something like that.
Do you guys like fish?
We like it. We eat it on occasion, sure. I love the white fish. But mostly I like just anything, so long as it's dead.
Well, I can understand that.
Right. All right. Well, this is It's Pete Blazingame, and my special guest is Phil Henry. Now, Phil Henry made his name a number of years ago by satirizing. Is that what you'd call it, Phil?
Yeah, satirizing talk radio.
Satirizing talk radio by pretending to be the callers and the guests. Am I right about that?
Well, a lot of people put it together. I pretended to be the guest. The callers were real.
Oh, no, that's right, yeah. Sometimes you were a caller, though, right?
Sometimes we'd throw in one or two just for laughs, but...
But mostly there were real callers and you were the guest.
Yeah.
Well, I heard tapes of that, and it was so funny, and it was also so disorienting. I didn't know where I was or who I was after hearing, you know what I mean, Phil?
Yeah, well, it kind of transcends things, you know?
Well, I don't know, but I would listen to this show, and I'd come in the house and be rubbing my head, and I'd say, good God, I need to sit down. I need a glass of ice water, and Dolores, and she'd say, what happened? And I said, you got to help me. You know, I'd be holding onto her dress, and finally I'd come around.
Well, what happened?
Well, your show it scared me. It made me laugh so hard that I was frightened of what humor was capable of. Just very strange things like that. But I had to talk to you. Now, you don't do that anymore, do you?
No, I haven't done that in a number of years.
Well, now, why did you leave that?
I left it because it was getting old. It wasn't getting old so much. It was. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The business was not as able to support it as it had been able to support it at one time.
Now, what do you mean by not able to support it? Was it not making money?
I never thought it never really made a lot of money. No, and it didn't really get a lot of. It was a real fluky thing. It was a real weird thing. Very. What's the word?
Kind of a cult, a cliquish, or I don't want to use the word cult, you know, for fear that someone's going to think it's a cult, you know, and we're eating human flesh.
Well, no, I mean...
No, we don't nothing like that, but it got culty or cliquish?
It was a very loyal, cult-like audience, you know. And
So it was cultish?
Not eating human flesh, like you were saying.
No, I know that, but small but devoted following is the way they say it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I just felt like it was probably, you know, time to get the hell away from that and go into, at first I thought I wanted to go into acting, some television acting, and then I got the bug to go back into radio.
Now, you went back into radio... And you had a talk show, and you did some of the character voices that you had done, but you did a lot of interviews. Is that right?
Yeah, that lasted about 2 years.
And how'd you like that?
It was, it was okay. I thought that maybe I would be able to carry a kind of a humorous commentary type of political talk show, but everything was getting so, emotional. People really wanted to know whether you're a liberal or a conservative, and it wasn't really the intent of the show that way.
So they tuned in, they wanted to hear a firebrand, huh?
Yeah,
they wanted to hear a firebrand. what they wanted to hear.
Yeah, if by firebrand you mean.
But what I mean is, the guy's a real. He's on a soapbox and he's wagging his finger and like Sean Hannity. Have you ever heard him?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. And Mark Levins. Have you heard him?
Mark Levine.
What's the name?
Mark Levine. You listen to him?
Oh yeah, I listen to him. I thought it was Levins. Mark Levine. They're very opinionated, aren't they?
They very much so. Yeah.
All right. So, and you weren't doing that.
No, I wasn't. And really, the thing that I probably felt I did best when all was said and done was humor. So we went back to doing our character voices there from about 2009 until I eventually just retired from radio in 2013.
All right. So you put radio behind you. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we're talking with Phil Hendry. This is Paul Blazingame, and this is It's Paul, a presentation of the Bonanno Broadcast Group. And I'm talking to Phil Hendry. Or is it Hendry?
It's Hendry.
Oh, there's a D. That's right, a D. An H-E-N-D-R-Y?
H-E-N-D-R-I-E.
H-E-N-D-R... D-R-E.
No,
H-E-N. H-E-N Hendry, H-E-N-D-R.
I.
H-E-N-D-R-I.
E.
E. And how do you pronounce that?
Hendry.
Hendry, all right. Now, let's move into the present time. You're now doing the show, and you have your website, and this is your business now, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah.
And what else do you do?
Well, I also do voiceover work. I do voices on a couple of animated series, one of which is F is for Family. And that's a...
What's called F is for what?
F is for Family.
F is for Family. Okay. I could agree with that.
That's pretty funny. I've heard it.
Have you heard it, Jerry?
Yeah.
And what do you think of it?
Very funny. Very funny indeed.
Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome. It's very good. Okay. Well, if Jerry signs off on it, And what else are you doing?
Occasionally, I do some camera acting on a TV show, and I have done some stand-up.
Stand-up comedy?
Yeah.
And what'd you think about that, huh? That's different from being on the radio, isn't it?
It's very difficult. I admire people that do it well, and I admire anybody that does it, period. And I don't think I'm really that strong at it, to be honest with you.
Oh, you don't, huh? Do you do it anymore?
No, I don't.
And how come?
Because it's not anything that I think I do well, and I don't really believe I'm good at it enough to get up there weekly or daily or however many times somebody would do that.
Well, I imagine a good stand-up comedians, what did I say, comedians? That's ridiculous.
Comedians.
What is it?
Comedians.
What did he say?
Comedians.
Oh, comedians, yes. I dare say stand-up comedians are doing it every day as much as they can, right?
Well, that's the thing. I think you have to work at it daily, if not hourly, you know, to be honest with you. And I just think that there it takes a certain aptitude that I don't have.
Now, what would you say you need that you don't have?
Well, I think you need to know how to write jokes. I think you need to know how to work an audience so that they are responding regularly over the course of time. You need to hear a certain number of laughs. You need to know that you're hitting that audience the way you want to. You're making them laugh. And I'm not really a punchline type of humorist, you know.
All right. Well, a punchline meaning what?
Like, you know, a punchline meaning a dog walks into a bar. And the guy with the dog says, I bet that dog can talk. And the guy says, get out of here. And he asks the dog, what's on top of a house? And the dog goes, roof, you know.
All right, well, that's a joke. That took a long time to ask.
Yeah, it did. See, that's why I'd be a lousy...
Oh, now I understand why you'd say you'd be a lousy stand-up comic.
You can see it took me too long to ask the joke, right?
To ask the joke?
I mean to say the joke.
Yeah. No, I can see where you're struggling there a little bit. But so that's a punchline.
Yeah, yeah, and I work more. You know, somebody once said that there are.
Are you having a hard time breathing? Because I just saw you take a deep, a very uneven breath there.
No, no, I'm fine.
Yeah, I heard you go. You know, did you see? Is Willie here?
I'm on tape.
Willie, go get my blood pressure kit, will you?
I don't need that.
You don't want to have your blood pressure taken?
No, I don't need that.
Okay. All right, so we're talking with Phil Henry here on It's Paul, the Paul Blasingame hour or show or what do we want to call it? I don't know. Somebody call Dolores and find out what we...
Did you talk to her?
What's it? What'd you say?
Did you talk to her?
Yes, I talked with her earlier. Well, we're with Phil Henry, and he's telling us, well, you left radio.
Yeah, that's correct.
And then you went full-time into the digital platform in 2013, did you say, Phil?
Brady, 2014, actually, the spring of 2014.
The spring of 2014.
Yeah. And at that time, then, I rolled out some one-man shows, live performances that I did. I did about three or four of those in the L.A. area at the Improv in Hollywood and Irvine. And then in 2015, well, actually, yeah, over the course of maybe a year, I was doing those. And then kept on doing the digital show and pursuing some opportunities in acting. And then, last year, in 2016, I went and did a weekly thing at the Hollywood Improv. Excuse me, not weekly, monthly thing.
Oh, that was that Phil Henry and Friends? Was that it?
Yeah.
Now, I saw that.
Did you come and see the show?
No, I didn't come and see it, but I saw it advertised. And maybe I saw it advertised on your Twitter. Did we see that? Where's Billy?
It's on Twitter and Facebook.
Twitter and Facebook.
On Twitter and Facebook, yeah.
Twitter, I'm sorry. And so that's what you did, and you did that once a month?
Did it once a month, and...
And you'd have other big-name acts.
Well, we had... I would thank God that we were able to get great people to do the show once a month with us, and I was kind of like the MC.
Well, now, why wouldn't that have been... That would have worked out great, because you don't have to do a whole evening yourself. You're the MC. What am I missing here?
You're not missing anything, and you know, on paper, that probably is a cool thing, but even that proved to be very difficult for me.
And why is that?
Because you still have to do the jokes. And I'm just not a good joke teller. And I really believe that on some level, you have to have that kind of timing to do stand-up comedy. I think that when it comes to being a performer on a stage, I'd rather be part of a larger ensemble, you know?
What is that word again?
Yeah, ensemble.
An ensemble.
An ensemble. When you use a word like that, I'm thinking of every fur that I ever bought Dolores. What about that? What do you think of that, huh?
That sounds like clothing.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? That's Dolores. She'd rather be in an ensemble, too. All of her fur coats. Okay, now that's a joke. Isn't that a joke?
Yeah, that's a joke.
So I could do a stand-up comedian act, couldn't I?
Well, you'd probably be better at it than me.
Well, I tell you, Phil, at my age, forget it, because I'd get up there and I'd stroke out and I'd spend the rest of my hour what do they give you, an hour, a half hour?
Well, probably 40 minutes, something like, I don't know, a half hour, 40 minutes.
Half hour. I would spend the rest of it with my mouth because I'd stroke out. So I'd spend the rest of the 40 minutes after everyone's laughing at the Dolores in a fur coat line and suddenly the right side of my face. Because a very dear friend of mine, that happened. I was talking to him one day, and he said, well, why don't we go over to the park? And suddenly the mouth just collapsed. That'll happen. You don't want that to happen to you, young man.
I won't. I'll try and remember that.
Okay. Paul Blasingame here with Phil Henry, and this is It's Phil, It's Paul. It's Phil, but it's also Paul here on the Bonanno Broadcast Group. It's Paul with Paul Blasingame, and... I want to thank Phil Henry for being my guest here today. And Phil, it's a joy. You are one of the funniest guys and one of the weirdest guys I think I've ever known. Now, you're on Twitter a lot now, aren't you?
Yeah, I suppose I am.
And you do a lot of, and you comment on the politics, don't you?
Yeah, you know.
Well, and so what do people think about that? Because I know... my favorite comic for the longest time was Dick Gregory. You know who he is?
Oh, yeah, Dick Gregory. He's known more as a political activist.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I used to like Dick Gregory, and then he became very political, and I went, oh, shucks. This isn't any good. And so I sort of went away from Dick Gregory, although I still think, as a comedian, he's one of the best. But I can understand where people don't like. So do you get a lot of people telling you just to shut up when it comes to politics?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people.
Yeah, and they don't like it, do they?
No, they don't, because I think when you're dealing with humor, probably you're going to maintain your fans when you keep it as generic as you can, or at least as off of the topic of politics and more on the topic of politics with a small p, that is the everyday politics of relationships. People like that, but the minute you, you know, veer away from that and you express something about the larger issues, yeah, you can get a lot of people upset with you.
You're going to lose a lot of business because you do the subscriptions. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Now, how is that for you? Hey, Tony, Phil Henry does subscriptions.
Oh yeah, is that right?
Yeah, and you do a good business, don't you?
It's a decent business. Sure. You know, I mean, it's like anything else. You got to keep selling it.
And people will buy subscriptions to the website.
That's right.
Now, but your podcast is free, isn't it?
Well, the podcast is free for about a month.
Yeah, for about a month, you say?
Yeah. And then we put it behind the paywall.
But you keep it out there free for a month.
That's right. And then it goes behind a paywall. And that's the way we sort of rotate the shows away from the free platform on behind the paywall onto our website.
But you also have 30,000 hours of the shows from the phone call and the radio shows, right?
That's correct, yes.
And people can subscribe to that?
Yes.
Well, that's just, I'm going to get a subscription to the Phil Henry website because, God almighty, you've got to hear it to believe it. Some of the things this man has done over the course of time, from time to time. Well, I'm going to say goodbye to you, Phil. We have other guests that we want to bring on. We're also going to do our phone call segment, but thank you very much for being with me. Phil Henry, ladies and gentlemen, today on It's Paul, the Paul Blazingame Show.
Paul, thank you very much. My best to Dolores and the whole family.
Well, thank you, but there's only the two of us.
Well, your kids?
No, we never had kids. See, so it's just the two of us, and we're happier than hell, and that's the way we want to keep it.
All right, Paul, thank you.
Thank you. Phil Henry, ladies and gentlemen, today on It's Paul. Welcome back to It's Paul here on the Bonanno Broadcast Group. And I'm Paul Blazingame. All right.
I just want to mention, I'm sorry.
Phil Henry just jumped back. Yeah, Phil?
I just was able to go out into the lobby there and listen, and you're way off mic. It sounds like I'm really on mic and you're way off.
I'm way off, all right. What do you mean I'm way off?
He says you ought to probably get closer to the microphone.
Oh, I should need to get closer?
Yeah, if you want to, I just thought I'd tell you.
All right, well, you're the big shot radio guy, huh? Phil, you got an ear for all of that. Well, thank you. Well, so there's Phil being an engineer too, huh? Well, now listen, welcome back to It's Paul. Want to take some of your phone calls? We'll get some commentary in from your various emails. Here's one from Vlad, and this is in Stockton, California. Your comments last week regarding Joan Gern, the dancer, and the singing she did with her sisters were way off base. Joan danced only briefly. The Gern sisters performed up and down the West Coast. So you don't know what you're talking about, as usual. And this again is from John in Stockton. John, yes, I do know what I'm talking about. The Gern sisters sang, but one of them danced. And one of them was, for a while, working the rodeo. So you can't really say they were singers, you know, when they did other things. Here's one from Mary Luella, and this is in Denver, Colorado. Hi, Paul. Enjoy your show. We listen to it each and every day. Are you aware of a fungus that can be used in salads, can be used in salads, and is also good in a mushroom sauce? And it, and when she says salad, that's different from a salad. Salad is a European dish, which is a salad, but it has different dressings, and they use a lot more spices and things like that. I'm aware of it being used on a steak on a mushroom sauce. So I guess she asked that question since she wanted to know whether or not it exists. Let's go to a phone call. Hello, you're on. It's Paul. Who are we speaking with today?
This is Davey.
Hello, Davey. What's up?
Paul, did you recall the assemblyman for Las Vegas, Dean Bitton, who told the gaming commission to get off his property, and I think he showed up, he had a bulldozer. Do you remember that?
No, I don't. What year was it?
It was mid-70s.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was eventually remanded to the custody of the state psychiatric facility, wasn't he?
Well, yes, he was. But before that, he had written a book called Me Against You, and I think it was something subtitled My Daily Battle with Las Vegas City Commission. Did you ever interview him on your show?
No, I did not, because I understand he was mentally deranged and was quite dangerous.
Oh, I see. All right.
Yeah, well, we would have been very interested, but no, I did not.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Here is Clark, and he's in New Orleans. Hello, Clark.
Hey, is this, am I talking to Paul?
Yes, Clark, it's Paul Blazingame.
Oh, great. Paul, my family is going to be traveling west, and I'm not sure what city you're in. Can you tell us?
I never divulge what city I'm in for obvious reasons, or maybe not so obvious. I don't want to compromise my own personal security.
Oh, because I wanted to meet you, and there's no way you can watch the show?
No, there isn't.
Why don't you, you're very, very afraid of someone, the personal security?
Well, I had engaged in a number of affairs. I had slept with a lot of very important men's wives. You know, you make a lot of enemies. Now, in my old age, you'd think I wouldn't have to worry about that.
Well, I'd heard about that, as a matter of fact, and that's why I called.
And this is, it's Paul Blazingame. The number here is 555-6181. And we're going to come right back here. This is It's Paul, the Paul Blazingame Show here on the Bonanno Broadcast Group. And now I want to introduce a lady who's got some very interesting things she's going to show us. She has knitted, these are socks. And you know, a lot of people knit socks. And but first of all, tell everyone your name.
Paul, my name is Kitty Clyburn.
Kitty Clyburn. Now, Kitty, a lot of people knit socks. You knit socks, but on the socks you knit, automobile accidents that you've seen, or what are these automobile accidents?
These are automobile accidents that I've witnessed on freeways or famous wrecks in automobile races.
Okay, so these are, and when you say famous wrecks, for instance, what?
This is Fireball Roberts in the Daytona 500 when he launched his car's Ford off the back bank turn, and he was airborne and then landed beyond the track there.
So we see the black smoke coming up from behind the track. This is all knitted. So you have to use different colored yarn, don't you?
Yes. So using here, we got a gray and a black and a little bit of red for the flames coming off the car.
And what is this one here? This is interesting.
This is Lorenzo Bandini, whose car exploded in the Monte Carlo Grand Prix.
And that's the Formula One, is that what it's called?
Yes, open wheel.
Open wheel, yes.
And this is Peter Revson. This is his car going off the track in South Africa. And here's a pair of socks. These are actually socks for women. Most of these are for men. This is a sock or socks for women. This is Niki Lauda. When his car burst into flames.
Now, that's not a fatality, was it?
No, it wasn't.
All right. Now, and then here's the one here. This is not an automobile race. What's this?
This is just a truck that has turned over on its side and is burning underneath the freeway overpass on the 101.
Okay, and that was, how did it get burned?
Well, right there you can see the SUV that cut it off. It's on fire as well. No one got out of that.
Now, all of these scenes are knitted into these socks. Who is ever going to see these?
Well, the people that put them on and take them off can admire it.
What about people just outside? You'd have to wind up staring at someone's ankle, you know, wouldn't you?
You would, yes. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Totally understandable.
Yeah, you would. It's pretty interesting. I'm not sure I get it myself, but it's something that I thought, well, no one's done it, you know.
Are you selling these socks?
We're hoping to have them. We don't yet, but we're hoping to have them in JCPenney. See, a lot of the stores are going out of business, and that leaves the online businesses. And I had said to some of these stores, well, if you stock our socks in your stores, then we will hold off going online with the business.
Well, because you could sell these online yourself, couldn't you?
Yes, we could, but we wanted to see what kind of money we could make with the big companies, the JCPenney and May Company. But if we don't see any results, say within the next 3 to 4 months, then I'll start selling these myself.
And what do you call these?
The Drive Carefully sock. And we feel that...
What's it called again?
The Drive Carefully sock.
All right.
And the Drive Carefully sock, we think, is...
Hold on. Look at Danny Ainge. God damn it, is he old. Go ahead.
And the Drive Carefully sock, we think it's a public service thing where people would wear these.
Yeah, so you put these socks on, and someone will say, well, what is that? And you'll say, well, that's Lorenzo Bandini's car exploding in the German Grand Prix. And they'll say, good Lord, what do they say?
Well, they do. They say, good Lord Almighty, why would you wear that? And they'll shake their heads and walk away. But they always, sooner or later, they'll always come back and want to buy a pair. But they don't want us to know what their name is. And they ask us to, a lot of them want to be anonymous.
But they'll buy a pair. What's the biggest seller?
The biggest seller is probably the Fireball Roberts going off the...
Going off the backstretch banking turn?
Yes, at the Daytona 500.
Well, Kitty Clyburn, we wish you the very best and the best of success in the future.
Thank you.
Kitty Clyburn, folks, here on It's Paul, the Paul Blasingame Show. Here on the Bonanno Broadcast Group. Well, this has been It's Paul. The Paul Blasingame Show here on the Bonanno Broadcast Group. We hope you've enjoyed what we've had to offer you today. And we are certainly going to look forward to having you back with us.
Paul Blasingame.
This is Paul Blasingame, and this has been It's Paul here with the Bonanno Broadcast Group. Executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved right here on Podcast One.